Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now, so you can pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issue you face. So we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so don't wait till later in the broadcast when we're out of time. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive, and he is alive because he completed his work regarding sin. He died a death that you and I couldn't die, and then he was raised back to life so that we could have a life that we couldn't earn. That's the gospel story. Yep. And in that death that he died, he took away our sins once and for all. That's what God did with sin. Now, every time you and I sin in day-to-day life, we normally ask the question, what am I supposed to do now? Am I supposed to try to get back into God's good graces? Am I supposed to try to get him back into my life? Am I supposed to try to get him to turn his face toward me again because my sin made him turn his back on me? What am I supposed to do when I sin? And I think a better question to ask is this: what does God do when we sin? You know, that's the real story. I mean, everything that we see, everything that we are, everything that we have comes from the hand of God. I mean, he is the one that spoke and this world came into being. He's the one that created us. And so for us to gain any measure of truth and reality, we have to keep our eyes focused on him and ask the question, what is he doing when I sin? And on today's post in our 28-day forgiveness challenge, this is day number 10 of that particular challenge, I talk about seven things that God does when we sin. You wouldn't think he would do anything, but he is very active when we sin. The first thing he does is he reminds us that in Christ we have forgiveness, that our sins have been forgiven on account of his name. Jesus Christ shed his blood. So God actively works through his Spirit to remind us of that great truth. Then he assures us that we are children of God. That's oftentimes the next question we ask when we sin. Do I really belong to God? And certainly our enemy takes that thought and really embellishes us. How could you be a Christian? How could you claim to be a child of God? How can God love you with the thoughts that just ran through your mind and the actions that you've just done? And we start to listen to that and we start to worry, are we even saved? And God, through his Spirit, assures us that we belong. He shows us the consequences of our sins. Oftentimes we miss what our sins do in the lives of other people. And that's when we really start to see the grace of God, because the grace of God points our eyes outward, and that's what the Holy Spirit is going to do. Look at what that did. You've missed the mark of love in this particular situation. It teaches you to say no to sin. He encourages you to put off the old and put on the new, to make that realization again in your mind that the ways of this world aren't the ways to true life. It is genuinely through faith in Jesus Christ. He continues to work things together for our good, and he continues to complete the work that he began in us to conform us to the image of Christ. Our sin does not deter God in his goals for us. He is going to move us to that point, to that end destination, and conform us to the image of Christ Jesus. So the next time you sin, instead of asking, what should you do when you sin, ask the question, what does God do when I sin? And that will change how you respond to him accordingly.
Yeah. I was glad that you were looking at Richard when you posed that question. So. Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. 1-800-677-9377. Toll-free open lines right now. Plenty of time on the clock if you have an issue you'd like to discuss, if you have a particular Bible question you can't quite understand. That's why we are here, to take you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution to your particular situation. Again, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Maryland and talk with Arthur, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Arthur.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
How you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I just had a question. I was wondering, like, I am born again. I could get in my Bible more and pray more. I should do that. But I just had a question, like, you know, like in a bookstore, just anywhere you go, there's just so much promotion about the New Age and all that. It's all kind of things, the opposed word of God, doing all kind of things, you know. I was just wondering, if you truly are born again, will the New Age work for you just like it works for somebody who's not born again? Are you different because you're saved? It's not going to go through the same way with you or somebody who's not born again? I was just wondering about that.
Like, how does the New Age work for anybody? I mean, it's just a...
I guess you're not saved, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are certain, truths out there. There are principles that people can live by, whether they're saved or whether they're lost. We see people successful in business, lost people successful, saved people successful. And one of the reasons they're successful is because they implement the same principles. They do the best practices and that sort of thing. So there are principles that, when applied, can bring success in certain areas of life. But those principles don't work on the spiritual level. We're either loved by God or we're not. We're either accepted by God or we're not. And we find out that we are when we come to Christ Jesus by faith. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we see the truth about God the Father. We see that He is love, that He's always loving us. He's always caring for us, and that we can trust Him on a day-to-day basis. Because
isn't there a scripture about God chases those that are His or something? I think a scripture like that or something. So God's not just going to let you do anything, might not let you get away with everything like a sinner gets away with everything, I guess.
Well, Arthur, if you're born again, there's something that has happened inside of you. You have gone from unbelief to belief. Your heart has changed. Your spirit has been made alive. The Holy Spirit has come to live inside of you. So all those things that you used to do when you were lost, now that you're saved, when you go back and try them again, they seem really yucky. And you come to this point and say, this isn't me. I don't belong here anymore, and that's true. You don't belong there anymore, and you know that. Why? Because you've been changed on the inside. Sometimes we get trapped in sin. Sometimes hardships in life, and that's really what the writer of Hebrews is talking about in Hebrews 12 when he talks about being chastened by the Lord. He says, endure hardship as discipline. What God wants from us is to produce in us a harvest of righteousness, and sometimes we have to go through hardship to see that harvest of righteousness produced in and through us. But all that is God initiating in us, growing us up, maturing us, so that we can really take hold of this new life that we have in Christ and experience it to the full. That's what God's desire for you is, Arthur, for you to experience His life to the full. That's why Jesus came. I came that you might have life, He said, and to have it to the full. And giving in to the temptations of this world, giving in to sin, giving in to the ways of this world, that's not where life is it?
No. All right, thanks for your answer.
You're welcome, Arthur. Thanks for your call.
I think a lot of this New Age stuff is basically centered on the spiritual application of universalism, where, you know, when you're ready, the universe will bless you. And I hear many times leaders who happen to be Christians in certain organizations say you can be and do and have more and have more and have more, but you have to be ready for it so the universe can bless you. What a lie from Satan.
Absolutely. And the fact of the matter, we've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus.
Right.
We've been given everything that we need for life and godliness. Mm-hmm. And He has equipped us for a life of faith, hope, and love. And now He encourages us to journey down that path, to enjoy this new life that you have in Christ. Enjoy His very life as you abide in Him. We try to complicate things. We try to come up with different definitions of success. We try to incorporate the world's definition of success into the Christian life. And we should just recognize that we've been given everything in Jesus. Jesus is the great prize. And when we come to him by faith, that's who we receive. The great gift of grace is Jesus Christ himself.
I like that.
Doesn't get any better than that.
That's right. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. We want you to be a part of the broadcast. Open lines, plenty of time. 1-800-677-9377. Pick up that phone right now. Come on and join us.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we talked about Robin Williams' suicide and the sadness of that, and we quoted some of the things that he had said about his life along his journey, that he was alone and afraid and shameful of all the things that he had done and that those were hard to recover from. And we had several questions left on the board yesterday. One was this: what happens to someone who commits suicide? And that's a big question. I mean, once somebody dies, that's the end, and yes, then comes judgment. So what's underneath that question? What are people really trying to get at when they ask what happens to someone who commits suicide?
Well, it comes from the idea that we've been trying to refute all month, is that somehow when I mess up and do a bad thing, I've got to confess it and repent of it and get God's forgiveness or I'm in trouble. And, of course, suicide cannot be repented of because you're dead, right? It's not like speeding or getting drunk. It's
so
a final thing.
Are they kind of asking, is that the unpardonable sin?
Yeah, that's what they're asking.
Is that what dooms them to eternal destruction?
And the answer is no, it doesn't doom them.
Yeah,
to
so what is the unpardonable sin? I guess that's what's really on people's mind. What is the unpardonable sin?
The unpardonable sin is the absolute refusal to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
We don't
believe him.
We read an interesting passage today in our noontime Bible study, John chapter 3. The very end of that chapter, John says some pretty, just hard stuff, just truth, just coming right at you. And I love what he says there. And he's talking about Jesus, for the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. And whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. So we come into this world under the wrath of God, under the condemnation, don't we?
We're already dead spiritually.
Yes. And so we're kind of, what do they say, those who have been sentenced to death and just waiting for that death sentence. That's where we are spiritually.
Yes.
And something has to happen. That has to be reversed, and that's reversed through faith in Jesus Christ. And if the gospel comes and we reject it, then we've rejected the only offer of life that's ever going to come to us. There is no other place to find eternal life, only in Jesus Christ. And so if we're rejecting Jesus, we're just going to remain dead. And when we die physically, we're just going to remain dead spiritually, eternally.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sentence. And that is such a harsh, bleak reality. But there is hope. There is a way out. And the way out is Jesus Christ himself. As he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we want to be free of this spiritual death, it's only through faith in Jesus Christ. When we come to him by faith, we cross over from death to life. So the unpardonable sin is not suicide. It's not anything else that we can think of. It's simply this, the rejection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so in the absolute case of Robin Williams, the proper answer is none of us knows.
Absolutely.
It's between he and God.
Yes. Yeah. We have no earthly idea if he ever trusted Jesus Christ. If he trusted Jesus Christ near the end of his life, we have no earthly idea.
So
we don't know what's happened.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly right.
1-800-677-9377. We want to hear from you. Give us a call. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, let's go to Queens and talk to our good friend Gil. Hi, Gil.
Good afternoon. Happy Sheep Day, guys. Long time no speak.
Yeah, I know. Nice to hear from you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I hope you guys still love me. I have a question. In the Bible, it says when you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, know that the end is near. And, you know, I'm hearing so much stuff about, you know, the war going on in Iraq and Syria and all of that stuff. And, you know, and the Iranians doing stuff, you know, Russians doing stuff like that. How a person like me who can't see ask for prayer about little things when it's harder for me to pray when I see this big stuff happening? And will God be displeased with me because I don't have enough faith? It's been hard for me to pray. I've had a lot of things happen this month, and but I love the Lord. It's just hard for me to pray when I see something big happening, you know, even about the little things. You know what I mean?
Well, Gil, the world that we live in today is a mess, and it's chaos, and it's crazy, and it's too big, you know, all the things that are going on. It's too big for us to figure out a solution to bring peace to the entire world. We can barely bring peace to our own households. So this is just way too big. But God knows that. God, it's not too big for God, and He has a solution, and that solution is going to be Jesus when He comes and sets His feet back on planet Earth again. But in the meantime, God is rescuing people out of this mess, out of this spiritual darkness, out of this spiritual death, and placing them into the kingdom of God's Son. So I think when we see the world as it is, and we recognize the problems that are going on and the bigness of those problems, I think we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I think that's a scriptural thing. But we also pray that God's Spirit will continue to offer life, and that people around the world will be able to receive that new life that's available through faith in Jesus Christ. So is God absent from the Middle East? Absolutely not. He's there. And one day, when all of the sons of God will be revealed in glory, those stories of how God was working in those times of conflict and hatred and violence and all of those sort of things are going to shine as stars in the heavens. And they're going to be incredible stories of God's grace. He is saving people today. He will be saving people tomorrow. That's what God's doing in this world today. And we can thank God for that because we were part of the people He rescued.
Yeah, it's just so confusing because a lot of my Christian brothers and sisters are being killed and persecuted, and it's hard for me to pray about the little things. I know that in Matthew 24, I think it's verse 6, it says, you will hear of war and rumor of wars. When it says rumor of wars, does that mean that people will literally broadcast things that are not true, or what exactly does that mean?
Well, that's just kind of the way of the world. I mean, the world almost in every generation have spoken of rumors of war. We see conflicts going on and tensions building between countries and that sort of thing. And so with that comes these rumors. You know, if this doesn't happen, or if this doesn't change, or if this takes place, then war is going to break out. So it's really conjecture, speculation. That's what those rumors are based upon, and we're always going to hear about those until the Lord comes back.
Right, and then you know, it kind of puzzles my mind because the media doesn't really talk about the Christians being persecuted like the wonderful Christian media does. I'm wondering if there's any connection with that as far as rumors of wars go, because there's so many Christians being killed, so many, you know, and it's going on even now as we speak, and that's why it's hard for me to pray about little things in my life.
Yeah. Well, Gil, I mean, God is concerned about the little things and the big things, and as far as God's concerned, none of them are that big. I mean, He's bigger than every one of them. There's no such thing as a big problem as far as God is concerned. So you just pray what's on your heart and be free to do so.
Yeah, in times like this, I very often go to Romans 8, starting in verse 26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. God knows.
Yeah.
Just rest in him.
Everything. Everything. And another encouraging verse that comes to my mind is Romans 5:5. Please pray for me that my faith doesn't waver. Is Romans 5:5 where it says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts.
Well, let me just say this, Gil. God's plan is always by grace through faith.
Yep.
Don't separate your faith from the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Your faith is totally meaningless apart from Jesus Christ, apart from the grace of God. So I think our prayer should be keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus, and we won't have to worry about faith at all at that point. Well, Gil, we always love hearing from you. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care, Gil.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Lisa listening to us in New Jersey on WMCA. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I'm trying to reconcile once saved, always saved with the end of the Lord's Prayer where it says that if we don't forgive others, then we will not be forgiven. Can you help me with that?
Well, let's just look at that verse and then compare it to Ephesians 4:32. Okay, so in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 32, Paul writes this. He says, and I'm getting there.
It's still there. I know.
Yes, he says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." So in the Lord's Prayer, he says, if you don't forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. And then here in Ephesians 4, he says, forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Past tense. So what's the difference there? Those seem to be contradictory statements. What has happened in between Jesus' announcement of the Lord's Prayer and this writing of Paul to the church at Ephesus? Well, what's happened in between there is the cross of Jesus Christ, where Jesus shed his blood once and for all to take away the sins of the world, to extend forgiveness to those who receive him by faith. So when we come to him by faith, we receive forgiveness of sins. And out of that forgiveness of sins, God compels us to extend forgiveness to others. So it's at the cross, Jesus ushered in a new covenant. He fulfilled, completed the old covenant, brought us into this new covenant where God chooses to remember our sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there's no longer any sacrifice for sin. So the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for you, Lisa, once and for all. When you received him, you received that forgiveness of sins, and now you can extend that forgiveness to others who have wronged you. That's the good news of this gospel, this good news of the new covenant that we live in today. And if we recognize that we're new covenant believers, everything falls into place, and this Christian life really gets exciting. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome, Lisa. Hey, thanks for your call. I appreciate you bringing up that verse and that passage, and because we do struggle sometimes to reconcile those things. But when we merge them together into the cross of Jesus Christ, they come out, and we really see how it all fits together.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, thanks for your call. God bless.
Just knocked my iPad right over. Crash. I want you to sign up today, everybody, to receive daily radio broadcasts, blog posts, and other ministry updates by going to our website. Click subscribe there at basicgospel.net. You know, this month, for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you're going to receive Bob Christopher's message called And the Love of God. In it, you'll discover that the love of God is the most secure place in existence. And the love of God, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.